as we look ahead to what is to come, Sixers and Knicks will reconvene on Wednesday night. But on Tuesday, we get a pair of teams coming off Game 7s. Philadelphia didn't look so impressive after their Game 7, but I guess it could be moot. Cleveland and Detroit right now, the Detroit Pistons, who many, including myself, thought, man, this is wildly uninspiring, going to lose to the Orlando Magic. They're able to come back in that Game 6 after the disaster second half, and now the Pistons, three and a half point favorites against the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 1 of that Eastern Conference semifinal.
Yeah, and I think this is a series that can go either way. I mean, kind of a flip of the coin when you're looking at the series prices. And if you're looking at Game 1, you know, in a 7-10 tip out there in Detroit on Tuesday night, where the Pistons are a 3.5-point home favorite against the Cleveland Cavaliers. With that being said, I kind of like Cleveland plus the points going into Game 1, where you look at, I'm not a Harden guy, and he doesn't need to be great, but Donovan Mitchell does. And I think he had a statement in Game 7 against the Toronto Raptors. Mobley has stepped up his game, like the leadership that you've seen from Jared Allen as well. I've always been a big Kenny Atkinson fan. I think the limitations that you saw from Detroit in that series are concerning for the Pistons. There's no doubt that Cade Cunningham is utterly brilliant. There is secondary scorer. Who is that going to be consistently? You got Tobias Harris in Game 7. Are you going to get that in Game 1 on Tuesday night? I don't know if you necessarily will. So in a series that I think there's not much that separates either of those two teams, even though Detroit being home, I'd lean Cleveland plus the points.
Yeah, Jared Allen, what a performance he had against the Toronto Raptors, going for 22-19 in that closeout game. And, you know, does he carry that over against the Detroit Pistons in this spot on Tuesday night, as you alluded to with the early tip time? If you're looking at some of the props out there for rebounds and the combos there for Jared Allen, he is sitting at 22 for points, rebounds, and assists. So does Jared Allen kind of pick up where he left off? Also, if you're looking at him to have a double-double, he's sitting at plus 325. So certainly an interesting one there. That'll be the early game on Tuesday night. The night game, the later game, I should say, Mark, is the one that, you know, I think a lot of us want it to be a competitive series, but there's also a hard way to figure out how this is going to be a competitive series. We know there's no Luka Doncic. Jalen Williams will not play either for Oklahoma City. Lakers, you got to give them credit. You know, north of $4 underdogs, beat the Houston Rockets in six games, but this is a horse of a different color going on and taking on the defending champs.
How does it look? Like, that's the issue you have if you're going to make an argument for the Los Angeles Lakers. Exactly how do they get there? They're going to slow it down. You're going to limit possessions. You're going to take care of the basketball. You're going to be effective shooting threes. The Oklahoma City Thunder allow a lot of three-point attempts. Is Luke Kennard all of a sudden going to have himself an absolute heater in Game 1 and throughout the course of the series? Are they going to be able to dominate defensively on the glass, out-rebound the Oklahoma City Thunder? It's really difficult to see it. There's limitations when you look at the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, they've got guys, but the Oklahoma City Thunder have got better guys, and they're the defending NBA champs, and you know they have the reigning MVP of the league in SGA. So, and Chet Holmgren has evolved as a player this year, especially offensively. That's the issue you have there. I mean, listen, it's 16 points. It's a lot of points when you're going into Game 1, and you're saying, well, it's a professional basketball team. How do you not take the Lakers? Well, when you watch Oklahoma City in the style and fashion which they play, Tim, it's hard not to lay the 16 with Oklahoma City, especially in this matchup that's so favorable without Luka for the Los Angeles Lakers. To me, it'd be Oklahoma City. It's a stay away for me. I'm not going to tell you that I like Oklahoma City laying the 16. I like Cleveland more plus the points. It's a big number, but I would never take the Lakers and taking the points.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, the big spread. Well, there's a reason for that. Obviously, pure power rating standpoint, as you alluded to, no Luka Doncic. But there's also the matchups that we've had this year. Now, a matchup in November, how does that compare to a matchup in May? It's a fair question to ask. But November 12th, Oklahoma City beat the Lakers by 29th. On February 9th, Oklahoma City beat the Lakers by 9. April 2nd, the game in which Luka got hurt, 43-point win by the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then April 7th, a 36-point win, a 29.3 point differential in this series, the worst of any playoff matchup in NBA history. And that is what we get. And, you know, you look at some of the prices out there from a series to a sweep. I mean, the question right now, honestly, Mark, begs, does Los Angeles win one game? And the betting market would actually tell you that they will not win a game, right? It is more likely, based off of the odds, that the Lakers get swept than any other option that is out there for this seven-game series.
Yeah, and that's the, and you might say, well, I mean, it's still LeBron and the Lakers, right? So, and it's still the purple and the gold, and you got to give them all due respect. It's just difficult to get there. And I think that's where you look at the money, you look at the betting markets, you look at the odds, and the Los Angeles Lakers are decided underdog for a reason. And I could see it right now. I mean, if you're asking me, where do you think this series goes? To be honest with you, I think it's going to be a daylight victory for Oklahoma City in game one. And I think in all likelihood, we're probably going to see a sweep in the series. At most, maybe it's a gentleman sweep. Maybe it's a five-game series. Now, if you told me that we were having reports that Luka is going to return for game two, then obviously that changes everything. None of those reports are coming out, right? So we haven't seen it. It doesn't appear that he's particularly close to returning for the Los Angeles Lakers. That would add a little bit of a different narrative to this series moving forward. But at where we're looking at right now, the Lakers are up against it. In every way, shape, or form, and in all likelihood, unless something catastrophic happens and some injury happens for the Oklahoma City Thunder, this is going to be a really short series.
Team total for the Lakers, 98.5. Team total for the Thunder, 115.5. Of those two, I would certainly look at Lakers team total under in that one. If you look back to the series that they had against the Houston Rockets, you know, outside of the game that went to overtime, the Lakers were kind of hovering in that ballpark. You think about their game four loss, 96 points. Game five loss, 93 points. And even in the win in game six, 98 points. And now you're looking at, theoretically, a better defense than what you saw in the Houston Rockets. So, you mentioned Luke Kennard. He is, I don't want to say an X factor, but you think about where he was in game one of that Houston series when he went 5-for-5 from three, followed up 3-for-6 from three. After that, Mark, he's hit 1-3. In the last four games. So, I mean, is he a guy that, I don't want to say rely on, but you look at what he was able to do just down the stretch. He had a combined 11 points in the last three games of that Houston series, but he's a good shooter. We know that. So maybe he wakes up. So certainly that's a possibility. But, man, I just have a hard time and seeing this Lakers team really getting much going offensively. So for me, if there's one bet to make on Tuesday, it would be Lakers team total under 98.5.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and listen, the one thing that would say Kennard's going to get opportunities. Back to Luke here for a second. Oklahoma City allows a lot of three-point attempts. Players don't make a lot of them against them, but they do allow a lot of three-point attempts on average. So Kennard's going to get some looks. And if the Lakers are to make this series interesting, he's going to have to play really, really well. But Tim, I think you hit upon an interesting point. Even when things were going well, there is a ceiling to what Los Angeles is offensively without Luka Doncic being a part of the mix. And I think that's just being realistic. And now you look at the Los Angeles Lakers, they're going up against a championship team. This is not the Houston Rockets. This is not Kevin Durant being out and Houston flailing around offensively and all that kind of, you know, now you get a championship team that's looking to repeat, even with Williams being out and being banged up. You still got SGA, you still got Chet Holmgren. This is a team that goes out there, takes great pride in what they do defensively, and that's where you have a difficult time. And I think, you know, they're probably going to try and make the Lakers work for everything that they do. And if you believe in the Lakers, then you believe that, you know, guys like Marcus Smart can visit the Fountain of Youth and all of a sudden look rejuvenated over the course of this series, especially starting game one Tuesday night.
Had a couple of moments, certainly during that Houston series, did Marcus Smart. This has been a enjoyable Stanley Cup playoffs to this point, and only one game on Tuesday, but you know, it depends on what you like in your hockey in life, because Mark, what we saw on Sunday between Minnesota and Colorado, 15 goals. Unfortunately, the over-under is not 14.5. I think I would lean towards the under, not getting a duplication of what we saw on Saturday or Sunday night. But Minnesota-Colorado, total 6.5. Colorado, after the 9-6 win over the Minnesota Wild, they are a decent-sized favorite. Do we see things get a little bit normalized, or is this just going to be wide open yet again for the Avs and Wild?
Well, I don't think it's going to be as wide open as 15 goals, but I think these two teams are going to be offensive minded. I mean, I do. I think there's going to be high scoring chances over the course of, even in game two and as this series does go along. And, you know, I would lean toward the over. I don't think we're going to get double digit goals between the two teams, but I would lean to the fact that this is not going to be a goaltending series. This is going to be a tight checking series. This is going to be a series in which there's going to be a lot of open ice, a lot of space. And when you're looking at really talented hockey players, they oftentimes find the back of the net.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.